Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Continuing from yesterday, there were two questions we didn't answer. First was offer to purchase. The person makes an offer to purchase a property, and this offer is not part of the transaction. It's just the nothing becomes binding by this offer. It's merely a promissory transaction. So the actual purchase and the sale will be done at a later stage. The offer to put the Ijabai person makes an offer and acceptance will be done at a later stage. The offer to purchase is merely a promissory agreement. So if a person has to break this agreement, it has no standing. It doesn't affect the deal in any way because the deal hasn't yet been done. It hasn't gone through. The deal is done on the date where the person agrees that he is purchasing and the property actually, the property, the ownership of the property transfers. So if a person signs an offer to purchase agreement and he pays a deposit, the deposit still belongs to him. It doesn't belong to the person who is buying the property from. So he will still pay zakat on this deposit which he has paid. The deposit is still an amanat by the seller. The deposit still belongs to you. Islamically, the deposit here, once the sale doesn't go through, so although the OTP is signed, the sale doesn't go through, Islamically he has to return the entire amount of the deposit amount. Now, if due to some legal restrictions or circumstances, if the person can't claim back his what Islamically is his haq, then the remaining amount doesn't belong to him anymore, and there's no possibility of him claiming it back, so he won't pay zakat on that amount. Although Islamically it's incorrect. When a person purchases an item, generally importing, once the payment is done, there's no zakat on that because that money has been paid over to the supplier. But the goods, there's a difference of opinion. There's a difference when will the goods be counted as being in your possession. So if the goods are still with the supplier, there's no zakat due on those goods. Although you paid for it, but you haven't taken possession of the goods. So there's no zakat on the money you have paid, and there's no zakat on the goods. If the shipping company or the courier company, the transport company is paid for by the supplier, so you didn't apply, you didn't organize the shipping company, courier company from your own side. So the courier company or the shipping company is a wakil, a representative on behalf of the supplier. So you haven't taken possession of it as yet. Possession actually, when it technically changes, is when the liability of the goods transferred to you. So if the goods have to be damaged or destroyed, will be liable for the goods, will take the liability. So if if your courier has to collect it or your courier has to pick up the goods, then they're picking it up on your behalf. So it's as though you have taken possession because they're your wakil. So only when this risk transfers, that's when actual ownership transfers. The money he has possession of it, so he has to pay zakat on that. Until risk transfers over to the buyer, he has possession of the goods and the goods as well. Some businessmen, they tend to any transaction or any dealing, trust, inheritance, estates, they'll consider the Islamic, the legal, they'll have all the angles covered legally. So there'll be no loose ends. Everything will be covered from a legal point of view. But they completely forget there's a whole separate framework, an Islamic framework. So even if you're signing a transaction, a document, a credit transaction, credit agreement, any agreement, you'll have a lawyer or someone to prepare the document for you. But every clause affects the Shari'i status of the transaction. One clause could be an interest-bearing clause, although it might not be apparent to us how it's linked to interest. There's different forms of interest. So just by signing that one clause, you're declaring war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for as long as this transaction is in effect.
So it's not
a cell phone contract, municipal account, all those have interest clauses in there. But those muftis allow because of necessity and other reasons. So if a person just has to sign a contract without knowing that these clauses are included, if you don't pay, then there's going to be some financial penalty. This is an interest clause. It's a riba-based clause. If it's something that's necessary, then they consider it on a case-by-case basis. So municipal accounts, cell phone accounts that they... That's one aspect of avoiding the actual interest. That aspect avoids the actual interest. The other aspect is just by signing the agreement. So if it's something that's not necessary, just to put your name, although you know you won't end up paying the interest, you won't receive the interest, but just to enter into an agreement where there's an interest-bearing clause, that itself is haram. That's why it's necessary. The agreement you're signing, you have to have it checked by your mufti or Darul Ifta. Anyway, it's a small amount or big amount. Just by signing the agreement, you're entering into an interest-bearing agreement. Next chapter is regarding qurbani, importance and virtues of qurbani. Qurbani, or sacrificing animals on occasion of Eid al-Adha, is obligatory on those upon whom Sadaqatul Fitr is compulsory. Qurbani is an ibadah of tremendous significance that even if it is not obligatory, one should endeavor to render it. There is great reward in even making qurbani on behalf of one's underage children. Qurbani made on behalf of the deceased is also very beneficial in that the reward reaches the deceased. There's many ayat and hadith narrating it. So upon whom is qurbani wajib? Qurbani is wajib upon every Muslim male and female who is physically mature, who is baligh, who is sane, who is a resident in his hometown during the days of qurbani. So if a person is traveling, then qurbani is not wajib upon him. And he has that amount of wealth that is equivalent to nisab over and above one's needs and necessities. Example, if a person possesses a second home or a second vehicle which is over and above one's need and necessity, the qurbani will be wajib upon such a person. So this, although it's above your basic needs and necessities, you won't pay zakat on this, but it's a separate nisab. It's a separate from zakat. Zakat is separate and making qurbani wajib, the masail are different. It is not necessary that the nisab amount has to remain with a person for a complete year as in zakat. If a person possesses nisab on the day of qurbani, then qurbani will be wajib. So even if the day before qurbani you don't have the amount of nisab, qurbani is not wajib on you. But on the day of qurbani, any of the 3 days of qurbani, if you possess, you receive such money which makes you have more money than the nisab amount, zakat nisab amount, then qurbani becomes wajib. It's not wajib. To be in your hometown, what is it? Hajj. It's not wajib. If you carry it out, it's done. If you have to be traveling for the full 3 days duration, so if you're at home for any of those 1 day, any of those days, it will be wajib. So even if I'm. Even a minor who becomes baligh on the any of these 3 days, qurbani becomes wajib upon him. Or if a traveler returns to his hometown, or he becomes a muqim before sunset on the 3rd day, then also qurbani is wajib upon him. Qurbani is not wajib on a person, but he obtains a loan to make qurbani, and the qurbani will be done, although this is not necessary. If a poor person upon whom qurbani was not wajib, if he buys an animal during the days of qurbani with the intention of qurbani, so once you buy an animal, although qurbani wasn't wajib upon you, by purchasing the animal with the intention of qurbani, now it becomes wajib upon you to sacrifice the specific animal. So So if this animal has to die or get lost, Qurbani will not remain binding upon him. However, if he finds this animal, then it will be necessary for him to sacrifice this animal. A person who passes away during the days of Qurbani, then the compulsion of Qurbani drops off from such a person. If there are shareholders in an animal, in a cow, in a camel, then it's necessary for every person's intention to be a qurbat. So to gain some closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do it with the intention of thawab. So if one shareholder's intention is that I just want the meat from this animal, then no one's qurbani will be valid. The remaining shareholder's qurbani will not be valid. And they explain it that if a person passes away during the days of qurbani, then this compulsion of qurbani drops off. However, if he had a share in one share in an animal for qurbani and he passes away before the qurbani is done during these days of qurbani, then his heirs have to agree that the qurbani will be carried out. Then only everyone's qurbani will be valid. If his heirs don't agree, then no one's qurbani will be valid. If a person upon whom qurbani was wajib purchased an animal for qurbani, however he didn't slaughter it on the 3 days of qurbani, and it's now compulsory to give the animal away alive as charity. However, if qurbani was wajib upon a person and he didn't purchase an animal, he didn't carry out qurbani, then now it's obligatory for him to give the value of an animal in charity. So this person shouldn't purchase an animal and give the animal away. But he will give the value of an animal in sadaqah. The same masala applies for qadha qurbani. So if qurbani wasn't done for a number of years, and you will calculate how many years it is, the value of one qurbani on each of these years. Or you consider the current price, not the price of the past years when calculating this qurbani. So if you've missed qurbani for the past 5 years and the price of an animal, today's rate is 1,000 then. So you will give 5,000 then in sadaqah. Even though last year it might have been 850 then, but you will consider the date when the sadaqah has been discharged. When carrying out qurbani on behalf of someone else, it's necessary for the person's permission. If the person hadn't known about it and he hadn't given permission, then the qurbani is not done. Likewise, if famously happens, someone does qurbani on behalf of his wife or his children, if he didn't take the permission to do the qurbani on their behalf, the qurbani is not done. Whichever years these had happened for, this had been, the person done the qurbani without the permission, they have to make qadha for all those years. Qurbani is wajib on each person. So the wife has to do her own qurbani, it's wajib on herself. If she doesn't do it, she's sinful. The children, whoever is baligh and possesses the amount of nisab, and they have to do their own qurbani, it's wajib upon them. The time for qurbani commences after the Eid Salah on 10 Zulhijjah and ends on sunset on the 12th of Zulhijjah. 10th, 11th, 12th, these 3 days. These are known as Iyamun Nahr, the days of slaughtering. Most virtuous is to slaughter on the first day, followed by the second day, and then least virtuous is to follow on the third day. Most preferable is to slaughter during the day. If a person slaughters at night, then the qurbani is done, it's valid. Those who are in remote villages where Eid Salah is not performed, Eid is only performed in a city. So if you're in a remote village and there's no Eid Salah, and once the time of Fajr has set in, then it's permissible to perform the to do your qurbani. The qurbani doesn't have to be, you don't have to wait for the Eid Salah to take place in the town before doing your qurbani. Likewise, if a person goes out, the farm is far out of the town. So if you go there for qurbani, it's not necessary, you're out of the town, so Eid Salah won't be a wajib upon you. And you don't have to wait for the Eid Salah. As soon as the time of Fajr sets in, you can do your qurbani. And the conditions for the qurbani animal. The following animals are allowed for qurbani purposes. Goats, sheep, they must be 1 year of age or more. However, if a sheep is over the age of 6 months and resembles a normal 1-year-old sheep, then this will be valid. A goat and sheep are only one share each in animal. Oxen and buffaloes, they must be 2 years and above. They are equal to 7 shares each animal. camels must be 5 years and above. It's also equal to 7 shares. Hence, 7 people may share qurbani in one ox and or camel. The following are conditions for sharing. The number of shares cannot exceed 7. No person's share should be less than 1/7. And all sharing parties must have an intention for qurbani, aqiqah, or other types of sacrifice, such as dam of hajj or umrah. If everyone, even if one person have none of these intentions, but his intention is merely to eat meat, the qurbani of all will be nullified. They all will have to repeat it. Qurbani of castrated animals are meritorious. The following animals are not allowed for qurbani: an animal blind in one or both eyes, an animal without ears from birth, an animal with a third or more of its tail missing. If a person is unable to find animals with tails during the days of qurbani, then one should purchase a share in a cow or camel. Qurbani of an animal without a tail is invalid. Previously, it was difficult to get animals without tails, with tails. Then Muftis gave fatwa of permissibility of slaughtering an animal without a tail. However, nowadays, most Muftis say it's necessary to have a tail. There's still a few Muftis who say it is not necessary for the animal to have a full tail. And the precautious view and the view of most Muftis is the tail should be found. A lame animal which walks with only 3 legs, the fourth means it doesn't use the fourth legs. However, if it limps on the fourth leg, it can be used. But if the fourth leg is not being used completely, then the animal cannot be slaughtered. An animal without teeth, one which has lost most of its teeth, cannot be slaughtered. An animal the horns of which have been broken off from the roots, if it is born without horns, only part of the horns are broken, it will be permissible. A cow with more than one udder missing cannot be slaughtered. Note, if any of these defects occur after purchasing the animal, then a person upon whom qurbani was wajib from the outset will have to buy another animal. If qurbani was not wajib, it will be permissible to sacrifice the same defective animal. If, however, a defect occurs while slaughtering, this will not affect the qurbani. So if any of these defects occur while slaughtering the animal, then the qurbani will be valid. If the qurbani animal gives milk, the milk must be given to the poor. Similarly, the hair and wool of the animal should not be removed. If removed, it must be given in sadaqah. If the milk or wool is sold, it is compulsory to give this money in charity. Prior to qurbani, no part of the animal may be removed and used for any purpose. Once the qurbani is done, the whole animal may be consumed and utilized, with the exception of 5 parts of the animal: the gallbladder, the urinary bladder, the glands, flowing blood, and the private parts of the male and female animal. It is permissible to slaughter a pregnant animal for qurbani. However, if the animal is absolutely close to delivery, then it's makruh to slaughter such a pregnant animal. If the baby is alive and the mother is slaughtered, then the baby should be slaughtered with the mother and eaten as the qurbani animal is eaten. If the baby is found dead on slaughtering the mother, then it is haram to eat this baby. If the baby was alive when the mother was slaughtered, but it was not slaughtered during the days of qurbani, then it should be given away in sadaqah. If the baby was slaughtered after the days of qurbani and the meat was eaten, then the monetary value should be given in sadaqah. If a person purchased a cow for qurbani with the intention that he will find other shareholders to purchase shares in the qurbani animal, then qurbani will be valid if others purchase shares in the animal. However, if he had the intention, he never had an intention of purchase of selling shares to other people, then it's better not to sell any shares to anyone else. However, if he does include another shareholder, qurbani will be valid only if the initial purchaser, the person who originally purchased the owner, the animal is a wealthy person, is an owner of nisab. If he was a poor person, then it's not permissible to include any other shareholders. If a poor person purchased an entire animal without making an intention, without having an intention to have any other shareholders, then he has to slaughter the whole animal himself. If qurbani is wajib upon an individual, but he slaughters an animal on behalf of a deceased rather than himself, then qurbani will be for the slaughterer and the deceased will not receive any reward. If qurbani is wajib upon someone, but he doesn't do his own qurbani, he does enough of qurbani with the intention of someone else, then his qurbani will be done. The deceased will not get any reward. If 2 people had purchased their qurbani animals with the intention of qurbani, and they mix up, each person slaughters the qurbani animal of the other, then both the qurbanis will be valid. It will not be necessary for them to compensate the other person, not to redo the qurbani. Correct way is to choose your animals. But once they give you the animals, the best procedure is each person should choose his animal, or they appoint one person and this person specifies each animal. However, once the animals are delivered, and then each person takes their own animal, then it will be fine. But once it's delivered, and then each person, if it's difficult, each person chooses the animal. The animals are specified, and it's fine. To Qurban. Ali radiallahu anhu had slaughtered one animal for himself and the other one on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's due to the favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this ummah. If the person has the means, then yearly he should make one qurbani for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One can also make on behalf of other deceased members of his family. And when making qurbani on behalf of the deceased, one can slaughter one animal and include the thawab for many of the deceased. Or you could make slaughter one animal for each person who is sending the thawab for. The sunnah method of sacrificing the animal. Ensure the knife is sharpened before bringing the animal to the place of slaughter. It is not correct to use a blunt knife for slaughtering and to sharpen the knife in front of the animal. The animal should not be dragged forcibly to the place of slaughter. However, it should be brought to the place of slaughter, and then one animal should not be slaughtered in the presence of another. At the place of slaughter, the animal should be laid down on its left side with the face towards the Qibla. It is sunnah mu'akkada to face the Qibla while slaughtering. It's sunnah for the animal to face the Qibla and for the person who is slaughtering to face the Qibla. The slaughterer can place his foot on the animal to keep it still if necessary. Once the animal is down, it is sunnah to recite these du'as. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifan wa ma ana minal mushrikeen. That I have firmly turned myself towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created the heavens and the earth, and I am not amongst those who make shirk and ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. La sharika lah wa bidhalika umirtu wa ana minal muslimin. Verily my salat, my sacrifice, my life and my death are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabb of both the worlds. There is no partner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no partner. And with this I have been commanded, and I am from the believers. Allahumma minka walak. O Allah, this animal is from you and it is being sacrificed for you. After reciting these du'as, one should say the following words, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. To recite at least Bismillah before cutting is compulsory. If a person intentionally didn't recite Bismillah, then the animal is haram to eat and the qurbani will not be done. The meat cannot be eaten. However, if a person unintentionally forgets to recite Bismillah, then the qurbani will be valid. And the takbir should not be recited aloud and in chorus by the bystanders when the animal is being slaughtered. There is no basis in the sunnah for this. The Bismillah is read at that time. It's done. Most preferable is to read it just at the time of slaughter. But if the du'as will take long to read, it will cause difficulty to the animal. And you read it slightly before it's fine. There shouldn't be a very big gap from the time you read the du'a to the time you slaughter. If slaughtering on behalf of another, then the first slaughterer should say, I intend sacrificing this animal for so and so. And upon reciting these words, the animal should be slaughtered swiftly and with as few strokes of the knife as possible. The throat, the two external jugular veins and the windpipe must be cut, or at least three of these four. If only two are cut, the slaughtering will not be correct. If by mistake the whole head was cut off, the animal will be halal. However, to purposely remove the whole head at the time of slaughtering is makruh tahrim. It's close to haram. It's also makruh tahrimi to slaughter from the back of the animal, from the nape. And an animal slaughtered by a non-Muslim is haram. After the animal is slaughtered, recite this dua. اللهم تقبله مني كما تقبلت من حبيب كما تقبلت من حبيبك محمد وخليلك إبراهيم عليهم الصلاة والسلام. والله accept this from me, accept the sacrifice from me as you have accepted it from your beloved one Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and your friend Ibrahim عليه السلام. If sacrificing on another, on behalf of another person, then mention the name of that person after min. اللهم تقبله, instead of saying minni, mention min Muhammad, whoever the other person's name, and then continue the dua. The animal should be left a while after skinning. Once the animal has cooled down, then only should the skinning take place. Skinning should never be done in front of other live animals. And carcasses should not be left lying around in full view of other animals. Even if the skinning is taking place close to where the slaughtering is being done, then some partition should be placed between, so that the animal cannot see the skinned animals, the dead animals, before it is slaughtered. In short, there should be three separate, entirely separate areas for qurbani. One is the compound for keeping the animals in such a manner that these animals do not see the slaughtering taking place, nor do they see the skinning or the cleaning. The second area is for the slaughtering area. So these animals should also not see the where the skinning is taking place. And the third is the skinning and the cleaning area. It is mustahab to divide the qurbani meat into three parts, one third for the poor, one third for family, friends and relatives, and one third for oneself. However, it is permissible to distribute all the meat or to keep all the meat for oneself as a person wishes, or to distribute as much as a person wishes. When several people share in an animal, it is not necessary for them to take the meat. If they wish, they can all agree to distribute the meat to the poor. However, if the meat is divided among themselves, then this distribution must be in equal and exact weight. Any excess will be haram, even if the partners agree to it. If exact distribution by weight is not desired by the partners, then the only way to correct this is to add parts of the animal, that is the offal, the shoulders, the feet, etc., to each one share. One partner will only be allowed more meat than the other if some of these portions of the animal, the skin, the trotters, the feet, are added to the share of the other. The easy way in distributing is each shareholder of the animal should take some portion of the feet or the skin or the trotters. Then if there's some discrepancy or it's not, the meat is not weighed equally, it will be overlooked. The skins of the animal may be retained for personal use or given away for free. It is better not to sell it. But if one does sell the skin, then this money which one receives is compulsory to give this money to in sadaqah. This money cannot be donated to a madrasa or a masjid. Likewise, the skin of the animal or any other portion of the animal cannot be given to the workers as a form of payment for their services. If a dying person had made wasiya, that made a bequest that qurbani be made on his behalf from his estate, which was fulfilled, then all the meat of such a qurbani must be given in sadaqah. It's not permissible for the relatives of the deceased to eat from that animal, as well as from that animal which was slaughtered due to a vow being taken. So if a person takes a qasam, he makes an oath that he will slaughter an animal, and it's not permissible to eat from this animal. The meat has to be distributed in sadaqah. As it's not permissible to sell any portion of the qurbani animal, the skin, the meat, or any other portion. If it is sold, then that money which is received must be given in sadaqah. And the takbirs of tashriq. It is wajib for every adult Muslim to recite the takbirs of tashriq once immediately after every fard salah, from the fajr salah of 9 Zulhijjah until the 13th of Zulhijjah, until the asr on the 13th of Zulhijjah, which is 23 salahs. The takbir will also be read after the Eid Salah. Men will recite this aloud and women will recite it silently. And it's not a condition that everyone recites it together in a chorus. It can be recited individually as well. Masbuk, a person who misses one rakat or more with the imam, once he finishes his salah, then he will also, it's necessary, wajib for him to recite this takbir. If one forgets to recite this takbir and engages in some dhikr or dua, then the takbir should be said as soon as one remembers. But the moment one speaks after salah, or he leaves the masjid, or he stands up from his place of salah, then the takbir cannot be recited. And one should make tawbah istighfar for omitting this wajib act. If salah, which had become qadha during these days, are performed during these days as well, then takbir will be read after the salah as well. Besides this case, takbir will not be recited for any other qadha salah. So if qadha of these days are recited any other time during the year, takbir won't be recited. Or if any other takbir, if salah was made qadha at any other time of the year, and the qadha is being done during these days, then takbir won't be recited after these qadha salahs. During the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, it is mustahab to recite the dhikr constantly. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. We all started our mudhakara of our tajweed, correcting our tajweed. Everyone knows how far he is, how much effort he needs to make. Once this month is over, we should not let many days pass. We'll say, okay, we'll start after 1 day, after 2 days. Like this, 1 week will pass, 2 weeks will pass. Next Ramadan will come in. We won't have made any more effort on our tajweed. So immediately after Eid, one should start again. Either find some alim, some hafiz, anyone who can recite Quran correctly, and make an effort to correct the tajweed. As I had mentioned, it's extremely important. The salah could be invalid. Salah could need to be repeated. If it is not recited with the correct tajweed, if the incorrect alphabet letters are pronounced, or incorrect makharij, the letters come out on incorrect makharij. Whatever I said correctly, or some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there's any mistakes in this, I said, if anyone picks up any mistakes, they should bring to my attention, inshaAllah.